You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the 26th Sunday after Pentecost, November 13th, 2016, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. For the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not one hair of your head will perish. For your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, here we are this morning on the other side of the most divisive and polarizing election in recent memory. If you heard last Sunday's sermon, you may recall that it posed a question. Come Wednesday, how then shall we live? That question is now before us. In the aftermath of a battle that at times felt as if it were shaking the very foundation of our republic, how then shall we live? Jesus and his first followers lived in a time that was even more conflicted and contentious than our own. Living as a people conquered by an empire, one of their few consolations was the temple in Jerusalem. A huge and glorious structure, it was the center of their worshiping lives and the primary symbol of their national unity. They understood themselves to be one people who worshiped one God, whose home was the temple. Yet we hear Jesus telling his first followers this morning that the temple would soon be destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be torn down. And that's not bad enough. He tells them that they're going to be hated and betrayed and persecuted and even put to death because they're his followers. "But don't be afraid," he says. "I'll give you the words to speak. Not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." In the worst of times, in the midst of the most intense conflict, when it seems as if everything is falling to pieces and going to hell, don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. by your endurance, by your perseverance, by your faith, by your trust in God's saving mercy and grace, you will gain your souls. So now let's fast forward to today, this present moment. Another time of intense conflict, another time when the symbols of national unity seem to be in danger. Regardless of how you feel about the outcome of this election, whether you're pleased or disappointed, whether you feel vindicated or whether you feel filled with despair, we can all agree that we have work to do. Because the fault lines in our culture, which this election have exposed, threaten to deepen and do even more damage. We as Christians have work to do. And we need to do it together as one body. The body of Christ. We as a people are right now in need of healing. We are in need of reconciliation. And it's up to us as Christians, citizens of this great republic, and citizens of the kingdom of heaven to be God's agents of healing and reconciliation. And for us to do that, to carry out our agency, we're going to need to get out of our tribe. Left and right and in between. As soon as we start sorting ourselves into tribes, we start talking past each other. We divide ourselves into us versus them. Yet in God's eyes, there isn't any us versus them. There is only us in God's eyes. So we need to begin to see each other as God sees us. And to do that, we'll need to start listening. Deeply listening, left, right, and in between. As we deeply listen to another human being, including one who really disagrees with us, we can begin to see beneath the surface. We can begin to see the hurt, the pain, the fears that we all live with, all of us. And we can also see the hopes and aspirations that may not be all that different from our own. As we move deeper into empathetic connection with another human being, we can begin to let go of the need to be right. Instead, embrace God's desire for us, which is to be in right relationship. You know, that's the definition of righteousness. Righteousness isn't about being right. That's self-righteousness. Righteousness is about being in right relationship. You know, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor, each and every one of your neighbors, as you love yourself. It's what Jesus called the summary of the law. And it doesn't have anything to do with being right. It has everything to do with being in right relationship. Now, being in right relationship with someone we don't agree with doesn't mean we surrender our convictions, although it may wind up causing us to take a second look at some of our most deeply cherished beliefs. No, we continue to discern God's will for us to act with integrity and to work for justice and peace. Being agents of healing and reconciliation means being agents of mercy. That is being in right relationship. And it also means being agents of God's justice. Now, as ever. You know, there's some scary stuff going on out there right now. A lot of people are feeling very vulnerable right now. And it's up to us as Christians and agents of God's justice to stand in solidarity with any person or group who feels threatened, who feels abused, or who feels discriminated against. That's not a left or right issue. That's a human being issue. So if we want to be agents of healing and reconciliation, meaning if we want to follow in Jesus' footsteps, we'll need to become agents of God's mercy. Listening to the other. Listening to the ones we disagree with. moving out of our tribal boundaries and into deeper relationship, you know, which might leave us feeling a little vulnerable. And we'll need to be agents of God's justice, standing with and advocating for all who are powerless, or vulnerable, and afraid. It's times like these, times of conflict, times of change, and this is a time of change, when our faith is most likely to be tested. And it was in times just like these when Jesus told his followers not to look to human constructs and institutions, even the ones that seemed as if they would last forever, to not to look to those human constructs and institutions for salvation. The temple, the symbol of the nation, would fall. But the ones who followed Jesus, who trusted in Jesus' word, who practiced Jesus' mercy, who stood for Jesus' justice, they would never fall. So I stand before you this morning, at this most difficult and conflicted hour, filled with hope. I stand before you to say, don't lose heart. Do not be afraid. As Christians, citizens of this great republic and citizens of that heavenly country, the kingdom of God, we were made for these times. We have been learning and practicing for this forever. I just spent 3 days this week at the biennial conference of the National Association of Episcopal Schools, on whose governing board I serve. There were gathered more than 700 educators, clergy, and leaders from across the nation and around the world. And there was such determination and hope and faith in this gathering as we shared best practices and wisdom and expertise on how to best serve children and families, how to nurture their intellectual development and form their spiritual and moral characters. And there was no despair or loss, just as there was no sense of triumph or vindication. And this was really a politically diverse group. There was no sense of judgment or exclusion. There was no sense of us versus them. It was just us. Just the body of Christ in all its multiplicity and connectedness. The body doing what it's supposed to do. And I have hope because of you, because of this St. Thomas community, the body gathered here. I see a community of awakened and enlivened souls. And there are countless other communities just like ours, communities filled with souls who are awake and alert, moving from anxiety into action. We have all been in training with the Lord Jesus for just this moment. And what's called for right now are acts of healing, acts of mercy, acts of kindness, and acts of justice. You know, we can't fix the world all at once. We've got to know that. But we can stretch ourselves to mend that part of the world that's within our reach. Any small, calm, peaceful thing that one soul can do to help another soul to mend some part of our suffering world helps immensely. Positive change will come as each small act of mercy and justice is added to the next and the next and the next and more and more and more and more. To work together in times that feel so dark and conflicted is to bring light out of the darkness. Now, I stand before you filled with hope because I know something that you also know. I know why I'm here, and so do you. I know who I serve, and so do you. The merciful words we speak and the just and righteous acts we do aren't ours. They are the words of the one and the acts of the one who brought us to this time and this place. Yes, indeed, we were made for this very moment. we who are the body of Christ. Now, I'd like to invite you to join in saying the litany, which you have in your worship sheet. This piece was composed by Karen and Steve, and I think it captures beautifully our calling to be God's agents of healing and reconciliation, our call to be God's agents of justice and mercy. Take it home with you today and pray with it every day. Let it sink into your soul. Your soul, in its deepest part, already knows that there is no us versus them. There's just us. Your soul longs to join with all those other souls in God's kingdom coming. We ask for the grace to be the voices of comfort, compassion, justice, unity, and love, and to be empowered as Christ's body in our broken world. We ask for the grace to keep the hurtful events of this election season from having power over our present, our future, and our human family. We ask for the grace to release any feelings of disdain or despair so that we might continue as beacons of Christian hope in the world. We ask for the grace to release mindsets or behaviors which might, consciously or unconsciously, by intention or misguided effort, be destructive to any. We ask for the grace to release the struggle for power, control, and the need to be right. We ask for the grace to release resentments, hard-heartedness, and blame we may have placed on others. We ask for the grace to recognize your hand at work in our country and in our lives, that we would move forward in hope and love. We ask for the grace to be bearers of your love, healers of division, peacemakers in the world. And when we stray from the path of reconciliation and peace, we ask your grace in choosing again and again the way of love.
Most loving Father, whose will it is for us to give thanks for all things, to fear nothing but the loss of you, and to cast all our care on you who care for us, preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal, and which you have manifested to us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.